Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and reads as follows. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, one of the reasons why Jesus and his disciples did miracles was to bring help to those who were in need, such as the lame man in our text. Another purpose of the miracles was to bring glory to God, so that the people would be led to praise and glorify God in recognition of his great power and kindness to men. Now, some might think that it does not sound very good to say that God helps people in order to serve his own glory. But that is in perfect harmony with what the scriptures teach us in many different places. The Bible tells us that God created all things for his own glory. The Bible says that he demands that all of his creatures glorify him. The Bible says that Christ redeemed us from our sins, so that we would glorify him with good works. The Holy Ghost brought us to saving faith for his own glory. On the last day, the Lord will glorify the believers. And then in heaven, we shall find our greatest joy in glorifying God to all eternity. So it should not surprise us to learn that God performed miracles to help the needy and to serve his own glory. Let us therefore, on the basis of this text for today, give careful consideration to how God was glorified and praised in healing the lame man. We shall see in the first place that Peter gave glory to Jesus for working the miracle. And secondly, that the formerly lame man praised God in the presence of the people. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. This Sunday we begin a 12-week series of sermons based on texts from the book of Acts. Our text for today begins by telling us, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." Notice that this lame man did not lose his ability to walk due to accident or sickness. Rather, our text clearly says that he had never been able to walk his whole entire life. He was, as our text says, lame from his mother's womb. Being unable to walk, he was unable to earn a living for himself. Thus, we see in our text that he was a beggar. As people entered into the temple, he would beg, asking for alms. Alms were charitable gifts, usually money. So yes, this lame man was a beggar, but not because of any laziness on his part, nor was it based on any poor decisions he had made in life. He just lacked the ability to work. And so we notice in our text that he asked help, he asked an alms from Peter and John. And the great help that Peter and John gave was not monetary. So it wasn't a normal alms gift, but it was far more valuable. It actually removed from him the necessity of begging, his disability, giving him the ability to walk. Our text continues, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So that man who had never walked a single step in his entire life was immediately able to walk. That was something that no doctor even today with modern medicine could accomplish. This man was able to walk immediately. No need even for any kind of physical therapy. He could immediately walk, and not just walk, but also leap. What a wonderful gift Peter had just bestowed upon him. But it was not the power of Peter that brought it about. Peter did not perform this miracle in his own name. No, he clearly told the lame man, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter later emphasized that same point in the words to the people, who gathered around in amazement when they saw the man who had been lame his entire life, now walking and leaping. In the two verses that come immediately after our text, so if you have your Bibles open to our text and look at verses 11 and 12, there we read, "As the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?'" And then in verses 13 to 16, he goes on to explain that it was the power of Jesus, the Son of God, that worked this great miracle that they could all see in front of them. Now that was certainly the proper thing to do for Peter, to give all the praise, all the glory, all the credit to Jesus for the miracle. Similarly, it is proper for us to give God all the praise, all the glory, all the credit for every good gift that we are given and for every good gift that we are able to give others. God is indeed the giver of every good gift. No matter who gives it to us or if we're the ones who are giving it to others. Every bodily gift, every spiritual gift, every mental gift, every good gift that enriches our earthly life or that helps us in our saving faith in Christ Jesus, that's all the result of God's great power and grace given to us without a merit or worthiness in us, Writing to the Christians in Corinth, the Apostle Paul asks rhetorically, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive from God? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory or boast as if thou hadst not received it from the Lord?" So rather than boasting or glorifying ourselves for any gift, talent, ability that we have, we're to give all glory to God, the actual giver. And it's important to remember that the only reason why he extends to us such gracious gifts is for Jesus' sake, on account of his work of redemption accomplished on our behalf. The formerly lame man, who through this great miracle had been blessed with the ability to walk, was obviously deeply appreciative of what Peter and John had done. The verse that comes right after our text tells us how he held on to them. And yet, we also see in our text for today that he knew his thanks and praise ultimately did not go to Peter and John, but to the Lord. We read in verses 8 and 9, "And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." Yes, he praised God for all to see. And that's a good example, too, for us to follow. We should never be ashamed for people to see us praising God for all the great things that he has done for us. We should never be ashamed to let people see us acting like Christians, talking like Christians, praising and glorifying God. We shouldn't be ashamed to let people see us praying before meals when we're eating in public. We should not be ashamed to tell other people how greatly God has blessed us and enriched our lives. Indeed, that's what we should be doing if we are full of gratitude to God for all his great gifts in Christ. Now, that does not mean that we're just to make a show of things, to put on a hypocritical show like the Pharisees did, simply acting like Christians in order to be seen of men. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "When thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Those hypocritical Pharisees sought the earthly reward of praise from men, and they received it. But God is not pleased with such hypocritical behavior. No, the true worship of God ultimately is not an outward thing at all, but it's in the heart. Therefore, to worship God in a God-pleasing way, it's done in the secrets of one's own heart, undetectable to other humans. This fact, however, should not be ever used as an excuse by us to hide our Christianity. God tells us to let our light shine before men, so that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. In a humble, contrite spirit, we must all confess that we do not do that as well as we should, openly showing our Christianity, not always letting our Christian light shine forth as brightly as we should. We've been guilty of trying to blend in with the unbelieving world around us by things that we do and say, or by not saying and doing certain things that would give evidence of true Christianity. And Jesus warns us about being ashamed of him or his words, saying, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So, we deserve to have Jesus be ashamed of us. But thankfully, through Christ Jesus, our sins are all forgiven. Our sins will not be held against us. Christ has already paid for them all. In view of Christ Jesus' perfect work of atonement, God has been reconciled with the entire world of sinful mankind. And by faith in him, we receive the forgiveness of sins, cleansed, washed free from all our guilt and iniquity, and thus saved from the punishment of hell that we deserve. And it is now our great privilege, and should be our true delight, to share that message with others, to let our great joy in the gospel be seen by the world around us. Not for our glory, but for God's. That is important both for your brethren and for those outside of our fellowship, to see your light of faith shine. Remember that the unbelievers that we meet each day, they need to hear the word of God for their soul's salvation. They first need to hear the law to expose their sinfulness, to cause them to despair of all self-worth. And then if the law does work that proper contrition in their heart, they need to hear the gospel to show them their only hope of being saved through faith in Christ Jesus. But it is also very encouraging for your brethren to see you talking and acting like a Christian rather than a child of this world. It is deeply offensive to your brethren, as well as those outside of our fellowship, if they would see you, who say you're a Christian, not talking or acting like a Christian, but acting just like a worldling. No, if we are true Christians, then the light of our faith will shine forth as long as we don't allow the devil, the world, or our flesh to hide it. It is in the nature of the true Christian faith to produce good works, if that faith is a true, sincere, living faith. But because of the influence of our spiritual enemies, we may need to exert a great deal of effort to get better in the habit of speaking to others about God, speaking to others about the Bible, speaking to others about our saving Christian faith. The thing that will help us get better at that is to really grow in our appreciation for all that Jesus has done to save us from our sins through a meditation and appreciation of the gospel. And we should all pray that through the power of his word, God would increase our desire to talk to others about the way of salvation and to bless our witnessing so that lost souls may be brought to their Savior. We can clearly see in our text that the formerly lame man was so appreciative of the grace that God had showed him, he desired to let it be known. He openly praised God for all to see. And the people who observed him, leaping and praising God, recognized him to be the man who had been lame his entire life and sat daily at the temple gate begging. So there could be no doubt that a great miracle had been done. They were naturally filled with wonderment and amazement. And we read in the last verse of our text, "And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Now, from the verses that come after our text, going to the end of the chapter, we see that a large number of people gathered and listened to a sermon preached by the Apostle Peter. And through that preaching, the Holy Ghost brought many more people into the saving Christian faith. So much so that we see at the beginning of the next chapter, in chapter 4, verse 4, that the congregation in Jerusalem had gotten so large that there were approximately 5,000 members who were just males, men. So that's not even counting the women and children. So many people had been brought into the saving Christian faith, which is obviously great for their spiritual and eternal welfare. But it also resulted in many more people giving glory to God as a fruit of their faith. So may the Lord help us all to recognize those opportunities that He places before us to glorify Him before the world, to share His word with others. If we do not feel particularly comfortable talking to others about the Bible, then that's a good reason to work at doing it more. That's how you get more comfortable doing it, is by doing it. And pray that God bless your words, focus your mind so that you can recall what you've learned from the Bible. You all know His word. You're all capable of sharing it. Getting more comfortable speaking about your Christian faith is good for you. Obviously, it's very good for those who need to hear the word of God and can hear it from your lips. And it's something that we should certainly want to do, not just to help others, but also to give glory to God in appreciation of His great love and grace and mercy in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.